I had to get here early this morning to change the sign out front. We celebrated Vina's life yesterday, and that was up there, but I wanted to put something on there about the message this morning, and I think it's appropriate that I could probably just leave it up there for a long time. I won't, but I could, maybe a week or so. But the sign now says, "Go and make disciples." Go, it actually says, "Go tell all Jesus." Because he's the message of life. Without his life and sacrifice, we would all still be just mortal people waiting to die, and that would be the end of us, just like the animals when they go. But we know that because of Christ, because of his view of us as being at the very top of his creation, that we mean much more to him than that. And so he gave himself for us, that we might live eternally with him. So the message this morning is, go therefore and make disciples. That is the Great Commission for us. Those are our orders from our leader, our Savior, for us. Go and make disciples. David Flowers. Some of you will remember David Flowers. He was a man who came to church here, and he was dedicated to telling people. He lived to tell someone about Jesus. No matter where he was, no matter what he was doing. He would start by asking them where they went to church. That was just his lead. Where do you go to church? And they would talk about that for a few minutes. Then he'd get finally to the question that he really wanted to ask them. Have you trusted Jesus? Are you born again? And it didn't matter where he was. I've seen him pull alongside a car at a stoplight. He rode motorcycle. We rode motorcycles together, right? He would pull up next to that car and stop, and then he would go up along the side and tap on the window, and they'd put their window down, and he would start that conversation and start testifying to him and witness to him right then and there. He was really something. He wanted to make sure they had a relationship with Jesus Christ, or at least heard the good news about Jesus. That's what he was all about. And he would ask them if they were churchgoers, if they trusted Jesus. He would ask them where they went to church. He would invite them to this church if they didn't have a church. He was all about helping people find the Lord. And I believe he did help many of them. He'd even have them pull into a parking lot so he could finish the conversation. Yeah, just pull in right over here. We'll keep talking. He was quite a witness for the Lord. He was relentless about sharing the good news of Jesus. I knew it was going to happen. That's David calling, saying, preach it, brother. Right. That's it. All right, well, we'll just put an end to it right now. I won't do like that one lady one night. She was sitting back there, her phone rang, she took it out and slammed it up against the wall back there. Nope, not me. Nonetheless, David Flowers was relentless about sharing Jesus. He was like the Apostle Paul, who was also relentless, like the other apostles, about sharing Jesus. They heard the commission, go and tell. And that was for them for the rest of their lives. That's what they wanted to do. Do you think we should be as relentless as they were? Do you think we are as relentless as they were? How are we going to fix that? I hope we will fix it. Yes, we must become relentless. Listen, if you're willing to tell somebody about Jesus, then you should be willing to tell everybody about Jesus. Because telling one is like telling everybody. You're just going to give them the same message over and over. Maybe you'll get a little more excited about it as you go along. I don't know. You see, I have the same problem. I need to become relentless about sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. We should share Him with everyone. In fact, the Scripture says, let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. Well, what was His mind about? It was about saving humanity. He came to fulfill the mission of redeeming all of us from a life of a horrible torture. God didn't want that for us. He wants us to have a beautiful future with Him. That's why He sent the Lord. He wants us to be saved from the destruction that's coming. And it's coming, folks. The Scripture says it. It's not the Scripture says it and I believe it, that settles it. No, it's the Scripture says it, that settles it.
That's a fact.
That's it. So we need to remember that. We need to let that mind be in us. Philippians 2:5 and following says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, Jesus was God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. That's our form. We're bondservants when we give unto Christ. And coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. You looked at Jesus, what did you see? You saw a man. Until he came to that point in his life where he knew he had to start the mission and fulfill it. Amen. And then he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Brothers and sisters, it's about obedience. Notice I said when we began that our testimony can only be as faithful and good as our obedience. If we're not going to obey the Great Commission, then why do we bother studying? Why do we bother coming to church? We need to be about the Lord's business. And the Lord says, go and tell them. I'm going to move up a little bit because I have a window shining in my face. Now, though Jesus was God, this is what this Scripture says, though Jesus was God, He didn't feel He was losing any glory by coming down from His throne in glory and coming to earth as a man. He didn't feel like He was being cheated out of something or dismissed and losing out of them. No, He didn't feel that at all. He didn't feel He was losing any glory because He was going to do the will of God. The will of God. Now, when I say the will of God, when I say the name God, I'm talking about the Holy Trinity. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's working the plan. He came to work that plan to save humanity. All who would call on the name of Jesus would be saved. That's what the Scripture teaches. And so that's what He was about. His sacrifice was the payment for all of the sin of humanity that would allow us to call on Him, be saved, and be able to be with Him for eternity. Amen? And so He didn't feel like He was losing any glory. He placed His mission above His position. He placed His mission above His position. The Father said, the God had said, we need a sacrifice. Only the blood of God will do that. Only the body of Christ will do that. He said, okay. Okay. He was on His way then. God needed to make a sacrifice that would give humanity a way back to Him that would totally leave sin behind. That's what His sacrifice did. It left sin totally behind. That way was Jesus Christ. How did Jesus feel about the plan? Okay. He felt okay about it. He came, didn't He? I mean, hey, some people say, well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was regretful. That's why He shed those drops of blood. That's why I asked the Father, is this the way? No, that wasn't it. He was just making sure, guaranteeing that what He was doing was the exact thing the God had required. And it was. And so he went on. How did Jesus feel about it? He said, let's do it. I'll go. Let's get it done. Let's save humanity. Come on, right now. Jesus was down with the plan. That's why he asked God, hey, is this the way? Because I want to get this done. Jesus was down with the plan of God. Jesus came and fit in like any ordinary Joe. You couldn't really tell the difference in him when he was young. It was only by the things that he started to do that they began to think, well, this guy's different. Something different about him. Only a few people actually knew who he really was. His close family. That's about it. Until it came time to reveal himself to the masses. That time came, and Jesus humbled himself to the plan of suffering. Everything that humanity suffers, he suffered. He suffered so he could know exactly how we felt about it, what we went through in life, all the challenges that we face, so that he was able to be that sacrifice for us that was sufficient in every way. Every way. You and I know the sacrifice of Christ. His body and blood covers every sin of humanity, giving us a way back to God. And I should say, the only way back to God. He is it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He took everything the world could give, and he was victorious. He rose from the grave, didn't he? That wouldn't have happened if he had not been victorious. His body, his blood covers every sin. We serve a loving, forgiving Savior. Do you agree with that? Absolutely. It's only by him that we live today and know what our future is going to be. Only he, Jesus Christ, can bring us home to God. He is the way. That's a definite article in the English language. Now, the question is this. How do we thank and serve him? How do we thank and serve Jesus? You know the answer, right? It's in your hand. The answer is in your hand right there. Go to Matthew chapter 28. How do we thank the Jesus we serve? We're going to find out. That's where the answer is in Matthew 28 for how to thank Jesus. That's where it's found. It's not an answer of just knowing. It's an answer of doing. It's an answer of doing. It's an answer of coming off our throne and humbling ourselves to do the will of Jesus, our Savior. He's God. He has a will for us. God's will for us. What is his will for us after salvation? Well, we know that. He wants everyone to be saved. That's why he gave his life, shed his blood. But we know the sad truth. Everyone will not be saved. Why? Because they won't give up their throne. Amen. They're hanging on to it with everything they've got. They don't know what to expect. They're not sure of the future, even though the Word tells them exactly what it's going to be like. Whether you do or you don't trust Jesus, it tells you what the future holds. And so you can believe it and trust it. So what's His will for us after salvation? Look at verse 19 and 20. 19 and 20. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's His will for us. That's His will for us. Brothers and sisters, these are our marching orders. There's no need for us to sit around praying about what does Jesus want us to do? We know what He wants us to do. He tells us right here. What we need to pray about is how are we going to do it? Where are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? Well, I can answer the when right now. Now. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Scripture says. We don't have to worry about that. We need to go and serve our Commander-in-Chief. Go and witness to all. That's David Flower's philosophy. It was the Apostle Paul's philosophy. We're seeing now it's a command from Jesus Christ. Go and witness to everybody. You can fulfill your marching orders right here in this community. You could spend many years right here telling people, calling on people, trying to convince them, showing them with Scripture that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Those are our orders from Jesus Christ. We just need to imitate David Flowers, who imitated the Apostle Paul, who imitated Jesus Himself. That's what the Holy Spirit told the Apostle Paul to tell us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul is going to tell us exactly what we need to do. Go out and witness. Well, how am I going to do that? It's what he's going to tell us. Look at verse 32 and 33 in 1 Corinthians 10. 32 and 33 in 10. He says this. And I'm trying to remember all the time to let you know that it's the Holy Spirit telling us this through the Apostle Paul. It's not a man telling us. It's God telling us. The Holy Spirit is telling us. And he says this, "Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God." Do you know that covers all people? The Jews were God's people. The Greeks were heathens. They had all kinds of gods. But they weren't God's people. They weren't the God of the Bible. They weren't His people. But they were out there. So don't offend the Jews. Don't offend the Greeks, all the heathens. And don't offend the church, the people that are trusting me. Don't offend them either. But go to all of them and encourage them. Well, for the unbelievers, you're going to encourage them to become believers. And for the believers, you're going to encourage them to serve more and better and have more faith and trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Give no offense to them. Just as I also please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. I'm not doing this to satisfy me. I'm doing this to satisfy my Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm doing it to the benefit of everybody that I speak with. I'm not going to gain more out of my speaking, but they are going to gain eternal life if they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my goal. I'm trying to speak to them and lead them to that point of trust. Amen? Not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that what? They may be saved. They may be saved from the wrath of God that's coming. It's coming. Oh, it's been delayed. God is patient. He's loving. He gives us time to think about it and come to a decision. But it's going to happen one day. It's all going to unfold. And it's not going to take very long either. And we're going to be gone. Your believers will be gone. They won't witness the whole thing. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. The Holy Spirit is saying, do what Jesus did. Do what Paul did. Do what David Flowers did. Make it your thing to do. Go and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And tell the good news. Tell them in the spirit of love. Tell them Christ loves you and gave His life to save you. He exchanged His life for your life, that you might live with Him forever. If that's all you manage to say, you've at least planted a seed, haven't you? Because most folks aren't going to give you a lot of time. They're going to tell you right off, I don't want to hear it. Or they're going to maybe, if they're kind, the older generation, they'll be a little more kind, and they'll listen for a moment. They'll say, well, that's great, but I got to go. But you've planted the seed. You've made them think for a moment. You've said the name that saves and gives His mission for them. They're on a mission to find Jesus Christ, the Savior. They're all looking. That's what all other religions are doing. They're looking for that Savior as well. The only problem is all those other religions don't really have a Savior. They have misteachings, wrong teachings, error. They lead people astray. Most of the time, they're preaching about a person that's going to save them. No person is going to save you outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the message they need to hear. That's the person they need to put their faith in. The name that's given is Jesus Christ. The name that allows you to move on in the joy of the Holy Spirit when you go out there and you testify to who Jesus is. You can go in peace. You've done your part. You don't have to save them. That's not your mission. Your mission is to tell them. Tell them the good news. And then, who will work on it after that? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to take over at that point, and He's going to bring other people, other believers to come and reinforce what you've said. And He'll keep pinging on them until the day they go out of this world. Hopefully, they will have relented by then, humbled themselves and called on Jesus Christ and go to glory. But everybody's not going to. So when you've said your say, don't hang around and argue with them. Don't force the issue. Just excuse yourself peacefully and go on about your business. You can even bless them by saying, Lord, be with you. Now, you're not asking them to be blessed materially. You're asking them to be blessed spiritually to find the Lord by hearing the message and responding positively to it. You want them to find the Lord. He wants them to find Himself. That's our mission. We're not trying to fool anybody or it's nothing bogus about it. It's all true. When we share Christ with someone, start in a friendly friendly way, right? Start in a friendly manner. But don't forget the message. Small talk is okay. That'll get you started. But don't get lost in that. Get back to what you really want to tell them about. The message is Christ loves you and gave His life for you. Amen. And hopefully they'll take the ball and run with it and say, well, why did He do that? And then you know the door's open. And you can start telling them about Jesus and His love and mercy and how He suffered and gave His life, right? We can share that good news with young and old. It doesn't matter. Share it with everyone. But be ready to give them some more detail if they choose to listen. Some will. Some will actually give you the time to tell them about it. Tell them how humanity was tricked by God's enemy and how they began to think of themselves as they were God. They didn't need somebody else. They could handle the situation. They could be their own God. Tell them if they pass away thinking that, their end is going to be eternal torment. Well, that in itself is a big topic. They may say to you, well, what's eternal torment? You know the short answer? Living forever without Jesus. That's the answer. Never mind what's going to happen to them. Anything that happens to them is going to be horrible, knowing they'll never, ever again have the opportunity to trust Jesus and get out of the place they're in. Amen? tell them those things that they need to hear. When the first humans found out they'd been tricked, they were sorry and asked God to forgive them, didn't they? He had to come and find them. They didn't run immediately to Him when they realized what they'd done. He came and got them. You know, that's the way God does it now. He calls. He calls. Is He calling today? Yes, He's calling today. He's been calling ever since the day Jesus rose from the dead, was resurrected. Amen. We have the call to come and give ourselves to the Lord. And we need to share that call with all those people out there that don't believe it, don't want to hear it. And the more people that witness to them, the more believers that make contact with them, the better the chances are that one day they're going to catch them at a time where they'll listen. It may not happen the first time. It may not happen the first 100 times. Do we give up? No. Did Jesus give up? No. Did the Apostle Paul give up? No. They all went to the grave testifying of Jesus. Of course, Jesus rose from the grave. He didn't stay there. And then you can tell them that later on, Jesus, the Son of God, being God, came and gave Himself as the permanent sacrifice for their sin. Oh, everything before that was temporary. Animal blood, animal bodies, temporary. It was just a symbolic giving of what was coming. But when the Son of God came and sacrificed Himself, that was the eternal, final payment for all of our sin, only to be given by the Son of God. It was only He who could give that all-sufficient sacrifice for us. And then if you want to put the frosting on the cake, you can give them what? John 3:16. Turn them into the Scriptures. For God so loved you, oh, personalize it, that He gave His only begotten Son, that when you believe on Him, you will be saved. You'll be saved. You'll have that come be with me ticket in your hand. That's what they need, isn't it? That's the only thing that's going to get them in. The permanent sacrifice that's going to bring them and us out of sin so we can once again live with God. That's the way Adam and Eve were. They were living with God. What's that going to be like? Have you ever thought about that? We can't even imagine it. We can't even imagine it. But we're going to find out, aren't we? All right. So, if at any time they need to leave, they say, hey, well, I've got to go. My time's short here. Let them. Don't try to hold them. You've said your say, or all you're going to get to say. So you just peacefully let them go. And give them what? A church card. Yeah, one of my business cards or one of the invite to church cards. We have those kind. And on the back, it gives the who you are and where it's at, right? Invite them to church. Do you have any cards? You have any church cards? You need to get some if you don't. Put your name and phone number on there. Give them a card and say, listen, I go to church here. You can call me if you have any questions or think of anything. Give me a call. Here's my phone number. You see, you want to encourage them to keep trying to find the Savior. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Amen. So let's get creative. Let's do it. And hey, that's not very creative at all. That's been being done for years and years. Give them that card. Give them your phone number. Tell them you care enough to answer their questions. And have them give you a call. If you don't have any cards, you see me. I'll give you some right after church. As they leave, invite them to call you and then come to church. You can say, Jesus bless you. If you say, Lord bless you, they might not know what you're talking about. They don't see Him as Lord. So you say, Jesus bless you as you go. And like I said, you're not asking the Lord to bless them materially. You're asking Him to bless them with His presence so that they can understand who He is, what He's done, and why they need Him. That's what you want them to know, isn't it? Of course it is. Of course it is. You're asking Jesus to give them eternal life. That's what you're really asking. You have it. Don't be selfish and hang on to it. You know, it's okay to hang on to it, but share it. That's what we're supposed to be doing, sharing it. Remember what Jesus said. We said it at the beginning. Here's what he said. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. This is how you do it. You tell them about Jesus. You encourage them. Then baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God has made a commitment to them. He signed it with the blood of Jesus. Baptism is them making a commitment back to God. I'm going to live for you, Jesus. I'm going to serve you, Jesus. I'm not going to put myself first anymore. I'm going to put you first. If I get an offer to have a gazillion dollar job, but it's not something that glorifies you, I'm going to let that job go. Because I want to glorify you.
Amen.
And I know you'll give me something to do that will do both. Take care of me and glorify you. God will do that. Show Him your faith. Trust Him to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Go and make disciples of all nations. Making disciples means telling people the gospel. That's where it starts. Tell them the gospel. Lovingly, with care, with understanding. Give them the good news of Jesus. Are you thinking right now you're going to do it? That's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it starting today. Start today. That's what the Scripture day says. Today is the day of salvation. Well, not if you don't tell somebody. You need to start sharing. And it can be as casual as you want it to be. You slip the name of the Lord in there, right? Now, you know what we need to do? We need to be proactive. We need to start getting ready. We need to start practicing. How am I going to slip the name of Jesus into a conversation? Maybe you're not too sure about that. You'd like to find out. Yes, we can do that. That's what church is about. It's about training. About teaching you how to get out there and share the Lord without being timid or put off by somebody that's domineering. You have a mandate from your Lord. Come and practice. Practice doing this when this church offers training on the way to do it. Have we been offering the training? Not directly, but we've been offering Bible study. And that's a way to share Jesus, is to share Scriptures with them. But you see, the next part of the command is the real meat of the command. What does it say? Teaching them to observe all things. All things? What kind of things? He doesn't leave you in doubt. He tells you all things I have commanded you. Well, what did Jesus command you to do? Can you name one? He commanded you to trust in Him as a Savior, didn't He? Okay, so that's something you need to tell Him. He commanded you to follow Him in baptism, didn't He? Well, that's something else you can get to. I mean, you won't get that to that right up front, but you'll get to it eventually, that they need to be baptized and the purpose of it. So you can share that. You can share that you need to know about Jesus so you can tell others about Jesus. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. Hey, it's great that we get together and have worship, you know, and have meals and stuff like that. But that's not the meat of the church. We are to be going and sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's us. That's the church. Teaching and learning to do this command. What command? Go and make disciples. That's our job description as believers. It's not to take up room on a pew and show up for Sunday dinner. It's to go and make disciples. But that's not even step one. Can you believe that? That's not step one. You know what step one is? Frank, you and I talked about it this morning before we came in here. Step one is pray. Pray. Pray about your mission. Pray to God. Pray to Jesus. Ask Him to help you share the good news. Ask the Holy Spirit. You don't really even have to ask Him. That's His job. He came to give you power to testify of the Lord. That's what He gave you power for. And many other things, you get the benefit of His power. But that's why He came. So we need to be praying, praying, praying. Pray that we humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit and go. We can't go in our own strength. We will get nowhere. We have to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to empower us. How are you going to do that? You're going to humble yourself. Yeah, you got to die to self. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus said, go. Have a seat. Have a seat. Yes, have a seat. I still got 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. We're not going to be here another 30 minutes. We do. We're going to have to pass out rags or slobber. I don't know. Okay. We need to go. Jesus said go. So what do we need to do? We need to go. The beginning. That's the beginning. The beginning is our going is prayer that we humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit. What's step two? Practice. Practice. How many of you are ready to go right now? We'll go to the flea market and start testifying. Who'll go with me right now? Some will. Some will. But how would you get ready to do that? You come to church and we'll practice. Yeah, we'll practice. We'll do a little vignette of you'll be the non-believer and somebody will be your partner and they'll be the believer. And you'll practice how we do this. How do you witness someone? That way you won't go into it like a cold mackerel. Right? You'll have some knowledge. You'll have some ammunition, some holy ammunition, right? So come and practice. We have two nights open every week that we could do it. Wednesday night, Friday night. You count Saturday night too if you want to. So there's time to practice. We have three afternoons. Three afternoons. Maybe even more. So we can set up times to practice. We could do it. Get ready to go. When our country wants to send our army somewhere, do they just gather them up and send them off? Here's a rifle, do your best. No, they don't do that. They practice and they get ready to go. That's what we need to do, practice. So we have the time to do it. Let's do it. Let's learn how to go out there and lead people to Christ. Or at least tell them. You might not get to the point where you get to lead someone and pray with them that they receive Christ. Oh, but when you do, you'll be walking on a cloud. I'm telling you. But at least you'll start them out, right? The command, go, isn't just limited to public opportunities. Oh, you're out doing something and the Lord speaks to you, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, you need to say something to this person about Jesus. That's great. You should be doing that. You should be responsive to the Holy Spirit. But that's not the only way. Even though those opportunities are there, there are other ways believers are able to go and share Jesus. Do you want to know what they are? Then set up a time and come. I'm not going to tell you now. You'd all be sleeping by the time I got done. Ryan, come on up, please. Right now, look around this room. Yeah, just look around. See any empty seats?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of empty seats, isn't there? Right. Listen, do you know why they put fences around graveyards? People are dying to get in the place. Why aren't they coming to church to learn about living?
Amen.
This place should be full of people who want to live a full life and an eternal life. You see, our church isn't full, is it? Why is that?
People love the world more than they love Jesus. Nobody's going that. Many are going to tell Jesus to them.
So the problem is, we don't. Our forces are not large enough. But there are millions of believers in the United States alone. There's probably millions in Florida. And that's not enough. Why not? Because we all like coming to church, hearing the pastor, going away, and doing whatever we want to do. But we need to start inserting in that doing the telling of the gospel. That's why the church is not full. Because we're not sharing enough. I'm sorry, I don't like to put guilt trips on anyone. But we need to share more. That's what we need to do. The leadership of this church wants your ideas about reaching people. Amen? You can talk to or write the elders and give your ideas. Your ideas brought the farmer's market. Your ideas brought game night, the dental bus, pickleball, Sisters in Christ, men's breakfast, and Monday and Tuesday night Bible study. Are you involved in any of those things? More than one of those things? Get involved. How are you going to become proactive if you're not proactive enough to come when you have the opportunity?
Amen.
Sunday morning is the tip of the iceberg. How are you going to learn if you don't come? Are you involved in these activities and inviting newbies? You know what newbies are, right? Yeah. Invite them to come. And have a good time. And oh, by the way, did you know Jesus loves you? Get Him into the event also. These are evangelistic opportunities. All those things I just said are evangelistic opportunities to reach out and invite people to come. Every single one you can invite people to. And guess what? You don't even have to like them. Invite them anyway. Probably the ones you don't like the most are the ones that need to be here the most. Don't shun them. Invite them. See what the Lord can do with them and with you also, by the way. Will you support these efforts with your presence? Will you invite others to come along and enjoy that time together? Think about it. What activities would draw you to want to participate? And also invite others. What can we do that will draw you and others into the church? We need to do something. It's either that or we have to share Jesus more.
Amen.
And if we do this, we probably will share Jesus more. It's like I said before, don't get lost in the activity. You have a mission. Tell them about Jesus and what He's done for them. These are evangelistic opportunities. Will you support these efforts with your presence? You got to put feet on your want to, so it'll walk on down here and get involved, right? Or drive if you want. Call me, text me, email me, Facebook me, write me a note. Let me know you'll be involved in the process of making disciples. That's what it's all about. Oh, you can have a good time there. No problem with that. I enjoy pickleball. I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy it. But I'm not going to forget that, hey, I want to talk to these folks about Jesus. Because that's what we're here for. The truth is, we have a mandate. We have a mandate from our Savior. Our Savior said, tell them, make them disciples. There's only one question. Will you? Will you? If you don't, you're not dissing me. But just do it. Give it the Nike philosophy. Just do it. Right? That's the Nike philosophy. Will you obey? Will you help? Will you help us help you? Tell us. All right? Tell us. Let's pray. Father, I hope this message hits home right where we live in our heart. I hope that we will take it seriously. The world is passing away. We know it. We've heard it many times. This world is passing away. It's on its way to destruction. And everyone who does not call on You, Lord, is going to go that way of destruction. But Lord, we know that's not Your will. You don't want people to be destroyed. You want them to be saved. You want them to be redeemed. You want them to be brought to You to have that relationship of love and salvation and joy. Lord, help them to hear the message of those who are willing to go and share the good news. Share the good news. Lord, right now, give us the holy unction to get involved in sharing the good news. Come and find out how to do it. Get better at doing it. Get bolder at doing it, Lord. Help us to do it by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Help us. Make us committed, Lord. Make us as committed to You as You were to us going to the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.